have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hallelujah. Lord, change my heart. We'd like to say welcome once more and again to For His Glory. I'm your host, Apostle Brian Blasingame, and indeed it's a pleasure to be here with the Lord and our fabulous producer, Kimmy Kim, with Elections Radio. Change My Heart was the name of that last song that we just heard and just got our minds and heart into the right frame of mind. We thank you all for joining us again, for being here with us tonight. We thank God for the opportunity, producer, for being here with us and giving us another opportunity to be with you and come before you. So we just going to go ahead and praise God and get into the Word. We pray that the Word. Hallelujah. We pray that the Word will bring a blessing to you. Will bring peace to your heart, your heart, your spirit, your soul. We just thank God for what He's doing in these latter days. In case people don't know, yeah, we are in the latter days. A friend of mine just the other day, we was talking, we can remember back growing up, you know, the preachers back then were saying we were in the last days. And it seems as though then we really couldn't see it, but now it's like everything's beginning to unfold and we're beginning to see that everything's like those little connected dot pictures that we used to draw when we were in school. We kept connecting the dots by the numbers, and when you completed it, you had a whole picture. Looks like everything's beginning to line up now. But I did something yesterday. I was asked to do a Bible study last night, and there's a book by Apostle John Eckhart that it's a daily devotional book, Declarations for Spiritual Warfare, or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, it's a good book, but I use this every day, and I had misplaced it. Doing traveling ministry or whatever, so I ordered another one. It just so happened that it got back. It came in handy yesterday. Sometimes you know how you think you're doing one thing and you're on track and everything, but then you find out you were doing the wrong thing, and then it finds out that it wasn't you anyway. And what I mean by that is I was reading in the book concerning the 10th yesterday's date, but I was actually reading March the 6th. But anyway, it all became fitting for what we're looking at and what we're seeing today, because when I looked at it, it talks about, the heading talks about you will defeat your enemies of your finances. So I start reading on, and it says here, it says, I have promised that I will defend my people. He said, I will keep them. And he said, I will also strike upon your enemies with great. With great panic, and they will seize each other by the hand and attack one another. The wealth of all your surrounding enemies will be collected, great quantities of silver and gold and material possessions, and will be given to my people. Blessed is the man who fears me and finds great delight in my commands. Your children will be mighty in the land, and your generations will be blessed. Honor me with the wealth that I give to you, and your barns will be filled to overflowing. My blessings upon you bring wealth, and I will add no trouble to it. As I read that, of course, for those of us who have read the Bible, studied the Bible, what have you, or in the Word or whatever, as I read that, immediately, 2 Chronicles 20:20 or 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter came to mind, and it deals with Jehoshaphat. So I'll be doing quite a bit of reading as we go through this, but Jehoshaphat was the king, and he and his country they had their backs against the wall. So let me start right there in the first verse. And it says, "In the case of the past, after this also, children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Now, we're talking three, four different countries coming against this one country, Jehoshaphat, which is Jehoshaphat is the man of God. And it says, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazathonah, which is in Gindi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah." Now, caught my attention because the word said he did fear. So that lets us know, as Christians, as believers, there's going to be sometimes some things are going to catch us. It's going to catch us by surprise, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be normal that you have this thing of fear, even though God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and that of a sound mind. There are still certain things that will shake you. There's certain things that will come upon you that you, in your own natural ability, will not and cannot handle. What amazes me is not so much what amazes me is that when Jehoshaphat feared, he controlled his fear. This fear didn't cause him to lose control. It didn't cause him to panic to the place to where he didn't know who he was. He didn't know who his, you know, he didn't know, it didn't cause him to lose position as to who he was, and it didn't cause him to lose his position as in his mind or to think, you know, that he was no longer king. He did one of the wisest things to do. The Bible said that when he heard this, he became afraid, and he said he sought the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout the whole country, throughout Judah. He needed to get God's attention. And it says Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. This is again, okay. I see you got. This is again the importance of why we can't be afraid as believers to come to the house of God. There is strength in numbers. There is power in unity. These people saw that there was a dilemma that was hitting their country, that was hitting their cities, that was hitting their families, and they came together. They all came together. Anytime there was a great move of God, it was because people came together and it was on one mind and one accord. And it said that they came together and they brought themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. In the fifth verse, it says that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said to God of our fathers, "Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, saying, if when evil come upon us as a sword, if judgment come, if pestilence, let me break that down. Pestilence, that means plague, that means COVID, if famine, if we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Notice how Jehoshaphat came to God. Only did he come with his people, he came humble as a child. Even though he came humble as a child, he reminded God of who he was. He reminded God of the things that God had done for the generations before him. He reminded God of how they built this sanctuary, how they built this house. And they built it in his name so that when trouble did come, they could run into this house from all these things, including pestilence, including, and I didn't pick this out on purpose, y'all, but including pestilence, including plagues, including COVID. They said, we can run into this house and we will be safe. He said, in this house, we will cry unto thee in our affliction, and you will hear us and you will help. Now, my mind went back, as I started reading this, my mind went back to during a time when I was growing up. I grew up. Praise God. I grew up as an only child. So when a lot of you went to school and stuff like that, when the class bully came and picked on you, you may have had an older brother or an older sister that would step in for you. I had no older brother. I had no other sister, an older sister to step in for me. It was just me. Times that I had different things come against me, bully-wise or whatever, and I come running in the house, stomping, crying, tears running down my face. There have been a little bit of mucus coming down my nose. And my mom would meet me at the door, and she would say, No, you can't. You're not going to run from trouble every time trouble tap you on your shoulder. You know, we don't want you to start no fight, but look, you got to be able to be man enough to stand up and fight your battles. And then with that last little instruction, she would say, now, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to go out there and fight them, then you got to fight me. Well, of course, you're not going to fight mom or dad, so you have to go on out there and do the best you can with what you got. But I see in this particular situation where God is a God of justice. And I see where God don't mind fighting. God don't mind fighting for his children. This is totally opposite. God wants us to come to him with every problem. I got jacked up in my early part of life, thinking that I can handle the small things. And I remember praying to God, you know, God, you know, this little small itty-bitty stuff, you know, I can handle this, but, you know, the big things, you know, I come to you and I bring the big problems to you, but these are little bitty finite things, God. You got so much you got going on. You ruling the world. You running this. These little small things, God, I can handle that. I tried that for a little while, found out that don't work. But anyway, he came with his people, and he came to God humble as a child. And that brings something else out to my attention too, because I was having breakfast this morning, and I overheard a young man witnessing to another young man, and he was trying to get the word across to him, but this guy had so much different kind of philosophies, and he called it insight, to the place where he really wasn't receiving what the young man was saying. And I heard but didn't hear, and they finally got up and they left. And just as they left and I got in my car to leave, it came to my mind, the scripture, the verse, it said, except you be humble like a child, except you be humble as a child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And that lined up with what I saw and what I had heard in that restaurant. This guy was pouring his heart out, but because there was a lack of humility in the other guy. And I don't know what all this guy's been through, and I don't know what he suffered, but it was like I just kind of came in on the tail end of it, and I could tell the guy was pouring his heart out trying to reach the guy, but this guy was just so hard, so stern, so he wasn't trying to bend. There was no humility there. And I understood how the word is real and how it came into play in that particular situation. So there's some people that when we come across, we have to pray that God give them humility to the point where they can understand, or they can hear, or they can receive the word of God. Another thing is, you know, the word said that the enemy of this world, the prince of darkness, has blinded their hearts so that they might not receive the word. So there's certain things that we just have to pray in order for people, and I know I got sidetracked, in order for people to receive that word. I just know that there is definitely a need in this day, in this time, in this hour, that we have to reach folks who are not saved. But anyway, Jehoshaphat and his people, they came into the presence of God, and they began to pray, and they began to seek God. And in the 10th verse, it says, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Listen, Jehoshaphat knew some history about his people. This part got by me last night. He knew. That's why it's important to understand or read the word, or understand the word, because he understood that when they was coming out of Egypt, when his people, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, they was going through various different lands, and at that time God would be with Israel to the point of where they was just wiping out different countries. They was just wiping them out. But God told them while they was coming through the time of Ammon and Moab, and God told them not to invade them, not to kill them, not to wipe them out. Jehoshaphat is reminding him that, God, we showed kindness to these people. We could have wiped them out, but you said don't wipe them out. We didn't wipe them out. And he said, we destroyed them not. And then the 11th verse, he said, behold, I say how they reward us. They, in other words, what he's saying is they giving us evil for the good that we gave them. He said, and they come to cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. My God, that right there says a whole lot. Whatever God has given for you or given to you to inherit, he will fight to make sure that you got what's yours. I don't know who I'm talking to out there. I said it again. I don't know who I'm talking to out there, but somebody may need to take hope to that, because I've experienced some things. My parents has both gone on to be with the Lord, and sometimes even though you got the will, the whole nine yards, sometimes you have to watch your lawyers. Excuse me. Thank you. But anyway, God will make sure that what belongs to you, your inheritance, he's going to get that to you. He said, our God will not thou judge them. I'm at the 12th verse. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we that know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So many times, and I've said this a lot of times, so many times, this is the perfect place that God wants us. And we don't understand it, but this is the place where God sometimes, place of surrender, at the place of surrendering, at the place of just throwing your whole hands up and just admitting to God that this thing is bigger than me. I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. All I know is to give it to you. Because a lot of times we're so busy trying to toil and fix a problem in our own finite mind, with our own little fleshly hands and feet and arms. And God is like saying, look, get out the way. Let me handle it. I've got this. So when they admitted to God, that they said, look, we don't know what to do. We out of everything that we need to do. We don't even have a clue. We outnumbered. They're greater than us. And he asked them, will you not judge them for us, God? He said, we don't know what to do, but we do know that we're going to keep our eyes on you. The scripture tells us to keep our eyes upon the hill, which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And all Judah, in the 13th verse, it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There it is again. All of Judah. Not some of them. Not a third. Not a quarter. Not a fifth. They said all of them in one mind, one accord. They stood together before the Lord with the little ones, with their wives, with their children. Then upon Jehaziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. There's a lot of battles that we go through, even mind battles. A lot of our mind battles that we deal with are usually mind battles that God has told you to do something, or he's instructed you to do something, and you ain't trying to feel it, so let's go bring on a mind battle. A lot of your mind battles come because of disobedience. Then there's other times mind battles come because of obedience as well. If you're trying to do the will of the Lord, if you're doing the work of the Lord, hey, you know what? Matter of fact, Kim, I heard you this morning. She was saying Jesus was a man without blame. And because you're trying to do the will of God, something's going to come. Something's going to come. Something's going to come to try to distract you. And she's right. But this thing right here came upon them, and they admitted to God, we don't know how to handle this. And God came back and spoke to them. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that you have a God whose ear is not heavy, that he cannot hear? Isn't it awesome that you have a God whose hand is not shortened, that he cannot save? Isn't it awesome that you have a God who's willing to listen and talk back? He's willing to have a conversation. Maybe I lost too many people out there. Because, see, I know that there's too many people. There's a lot of people running around out there who have God that's made of clay. I talked to one man one time. He had a picture of his God in his wallet, and he carried it in his back pocket. I said, "You think?" And he said, "I asked him. I said, what's that?" He said, "That's his God." I said, "You walk around with your God in a place where you sit? Really? Come on." But that's in my younger time. But that was during my time when I was probably moving in more zeal than I was wisdom. But anyway, we have a God who spoke back, and he spoke back to them and told them, he encouraged them. He said, don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. In other words, you have a reason. That's what he was saying. He said, look, this multitude is big. It's A. And natural, you got a reason to be dismayed. He said, but I'm telling you, because I'm God, don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He said, because the battle is not yours, it's God's. We just have to learn a lot of times how to realize when to let God fight. When to let God fight. And then in the 16th verse, he says, tomorrow is an instruction. Because a lot of times when God speaks, he's going to give me instructions. He says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the hill, by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. 18th verse says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the king of Kehathites and the children of Kerarite stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper. And when, let me stop right there for a second. Something just came to my mind. You know, there's a whole lot, and I understand a lot of people have misused the gift, have misused the anointing, have pimped the anointing to the point where you have a lot of people that don't believe in prophets. You have a lot of people out there that don't believe no farther than Reb. R-E-B. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians that God gave unto the church a body, the body. First, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is what we call a fivefold ministry. And they operate to govern the church, the body of Christ. So if you walk into a house, and I did this once, where a guy was preaching, and they try to tell you there is no more prophets. Spiritual mother, we just politely got him and walked out because he was talking in error. I've been in front of too many different prophets, prophetess, apostles, pastors, who God used in the gift of the prophetic flow for them to convince me that there's no such thing, that this thing is real. Oh, my God, is real. So God said, believe God, you should be established, and you believe his prophets, you shall prosper. You shall prosper. Then he bowed his head with his face to the ground, and I was Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korah stood up praise God of Israel with a loud voice on high. In the 20th verse, it says, and they rose up early in the morning. Let me start right there. God instructed them to get up in the morning. The Bible says the next day they got up early in the morning. They was anticipating. They weren't anticipating a defeat. They was anticipating a victory. It said they rose up early. I imagine that there were some who didn't sleep at all that night because they was excited to see or didn't know how God was going to do it. We just know God going to do it. Let's see what God's got to do. So they said they rose up early in the morning. I don't believe that there was anybody sleeping in on that morning. That particular morning, I think everybody was up, everybody was ready, everybody was gung-ho, and was ready to go to their appointed assignment. Yeah. And it says they went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, well, we just read that, believe God, and you shall be established, believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And they praised the Lord. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies, the precious jewels, and they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 3 days it took them to gather the spoil. 3 days. Out of obedience. 3 days. Out of praise. They didn't have to fight their battle. Some of us were so busy trying to fight the battle. Some of us are so busy trying to fight the battle on just trying to get the last word. Oh, my God. Whether you're right, whether you're wrong, some of us just want the last the last word. And it don't even have to be the word of God. We just want the last word. And sometimes God is just telling us, if you just hold your peace, he will, without a shadow of a doubt. He will, without a shadow of a doubt. He will fight your battle. Fight your battle. Fight our battle. I know there's a lot going on. And I know some, I've heard a little bit of buzz here and a little bit of buzz there. Because of the things that are going on in Ukraine, things that are going on in Russia, some of them can't get any money, this, that, and the third. But God wants us to still be able to rest assured in him that if you're blood bought, you've been bought with a price. If you're blood bought and you've been bought with a price, God is going to meet our needs. And in this case, he went overboard of meeting their needs. It took them 3 days. here it is, three different countries raising up against them to try to take what didn't even belong to them. And messing around and lost their lives, and whatever they had, they lost that too. It just reminds me, again, you have to be careful not to touch God's anointing. Psalms 105:15 says, touch not God's anointing, do his prophets no harm. He means just that. He means, I realize that I haven't been before you long tonight, but I'm one of those that I just can't keep trying to press something out, pull something out, pump something out, pound something out. I'm one of those that once the anointing lifts, I lift too. Once he sits down, I sit down too. I found out that without him, I definitely cannot do this part of ministry. But for those of you who may be feeling like you're in a panic, in a tight place, in a hard place, in a place between what we call a rock and a hard place, rest assured, look unto the hill which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. He will meet your need. He will meet your need. This particular passage just came to me as I was singing that. If you would, you might want to go there. Psalms 34, a psalm of David. And he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth at all times, good times, bad times, rich, poor. He said, I will continuously praise the Lord. He said, my soul make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. This is for somebody. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, all of his troubles, not part of them, not some of them, all of them. And the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. With that, I think I'm going to leave you guys with that too, to ponder on that. That's Psalms 34, 1 through 10. God has got us, y'all. God has got us. Even the number of hairs on our head, even that the hair on our head has been numbered, he has got us. So with that being said, rest easy. Now, if you have been listening to this podcast and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now is a very good time to do so. And if you would like to do that right now, just repeat after me. It's just an act of faith. Just say, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I come in the name, which is above all names, Jesus Christ. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I believe that on the third day, you raised him from the dead. And I believe you raised him from the dead with our power in his hand. I believe this with my heart, and I confess this with my mouth. Therefore, according to your word, I am saved. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things, old things have passed away, and behold, Everything has become new. God, thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan. He has no more place in my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you like to pray or have someone to pray with you, you can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Instagram. You can also reach me on Snapchat. I am there. Just pick it up. B-R-Y-A-N, Blasting Game, B-L-A-S-S-I-N-G-A-M-E. You need prayer. Pray that prayer. You give me your heart to the Lord. After you've done that, find a Bible-believing church, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, fire-baptized church, so that you can grow and build a strong relationship with the Father through the Son. And with that being said, y'all, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was a blessing to you. Till next week, if the Lord's will, whatever you do, remember, do it in decency and in order. But most of all, remember to do it for his glory. We are out. Kimmy Kim, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. God bless. Amen.
Get my praise on. Get my praise on. Gotta get my praise on. Gotta get my praise on. It's not enough to sing a song. It's not enough just clap along. I gotta get my praise on. Get my praise on. Gotta get my praise on. Gotta get my praise on. Just sing a song. Just clap along. to sing the song. Just clapping along, I got get my praise on. Get my praise on. I gotta get my praise on. I gotta get my praise on. It's not enough to sing a song. It's not enough just clapping along. I gotta get my praise on. Get my praise on. I gotta get my praise on. I gotta get my praise on. Just singing a song. Just clapping along. I gotta